Football systems check. Microphone.
Check. Record enabled.
Kate.
Check.
Michelle.
Check. All systems go. I repeat, all systems go.
We got a problem.
Copy. We have ball blast. I repeat, we have ball blast.
Welcome into the Ball Blast Football Injury Podcast. I am your sort of host, Kate, but more importantly, I've got our own injury expert here, Mr. Matthew Betts. How are you doing today, Betts?
Kate, you're not giving yourself enough credit here. I don't think you are the sort of host. I think you're the very real host on the show. But I'm doing great to answer your question. How are you today?
I'm good, but we've lost some more of our first to fourth round picks, so not doing super great. I feel like my fantasy rosters have either been just absolutely obliterated or they've been relatively unscathed so far, but we've had some major injuries again pop up in week four, so let's dive in. Anything else you want to note other than the fact that our listeners obviously have to go to ballblastfootball.com. Hit the subscribe button or your favorite button, the bookmark button on the Ball Blast Football Injury Tracker, which, Betts, you've said you're going to get carpal tunnel from updating.
Oh, my gosh. I honestly can't remember a season that's like this. Just so much going on. So, yes, the Injury Tracker on the website is meant to be a quick resource for you guys to check out. If you're wondering, okay, who's out for the year? You know, who's going to be back in 4 weeks or who's on short-term IR? Can I play this player this week? So all that information is on there. It's usually updated every like two-ish days. So hang with me. Life's crazy. We're trying to update it as much as we can, but there's just so many injuries going on that it's virtually impossible to keep up with on a daily basis. But yes, check frequently for that. And then also, if you guys are subscribers on Patreon, patreon.com/ballblast, I think the easiest way to get like accurate and quick detailed injury information of what you need to know is in the Slack channel. Like we have our patrons just asking like, hey Betts, how long is this player going to be out? Or what can I expect from Julio Jones this week coming off the hamstring strain or whatever it is? And you know, that to me is like texting. It's just so easy to respond. So that is the best place for your up-to-date quick injury info. Check out Patreon, patreon.com/ballblast.
Yes. I use that function frequently, although sometimes it is text. So I feel bad for you, Betts, because now you have the reputation in the industry as the injury expert. But that means your texts are always open to people like me who want to leech on for advice. But that's all right. Let's dive into one of the most devastating injuries that was suffered this week in week four, Austin Eckler. It sounds like he's had a bit of a hamstring strain, but he's also had a hyperextended knee. So what does this mean? Because it says, you know, we've heard that it was a pretty significant hamstring strain. What do we expect from Austin Eckler? Is he going to hold any value for the rest of the season?
It's going to be a while before we see Austin Eckler back on the field. And basically what happened is his left foot kind of got planted in the ground, and as he was trying to kind of backpedal to plant and change direction, he lost his balance, and so his chest and his core bent forward, which essentially flexes your hip pretty far, and his knee hyperextended at the same time. So now you're getting a stretch across the hamstring muscle at two different locations, which is a pretty serious thing. I believe his injury is most likely located closer to the attachment point on his pelvis, and without sounding too nerdy, that is not a good prognosis. Those generally take longer to recover. They're more likely to recur in the future. So Austin Eckler is going to go on IR for the Chargers. He will be back at some point probably this year, but I mean, we're looking at a scenario where he's potentially out for 6 to 8 weeks. And of course, we're already entering week five. So then we're looking at, you know, is he even 100%
by
the time—
That's your fantasy football playoffs.
Yes, I was going to say, is he even 100% by the time fantasy playoffs are here? I'm not sure. So yeah, Joshua Kelly on waivers is going to be a legitimate starter here for almost 2 months, probably.
So question, for those of us in redraft formats, are we able to, like, is this where we consider dropping Austin Eckler? Because you said, you know, by the time we actually have him healthy on the field, it might be, you know, just at the start of our fantasy football playoffs. And do you want to trust him immediately in your lineup at that point? Because I don't know about you, but I am running out of IR spots in all of my leagues, even with the expanded COVID IRs. Can't keep up.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So if I'm running out of room, is Austin Eckler droppable?
It's so tricky, right? Because we know what he can be when he's back on the field. So I think it really depends on your team and your roster construction. If you're 0-4, this is not the time to bail out, okay? There's still hope. If you're 0-4 and you need the spots, then I understand. But if you're 4-0 or 3-1 and you're like, I'm going to make the playoffs, and you have an IR spot, then yes, use it on Austin Eckler. Don't drop him. But I really think it depends on your situation. If you're in need of wins now and you need to plug and play, you kind of have to do it, right? There basically is no tomorrow if you're 0-4 or 1-3. Like, that you hurts. Need to win. So it sounds crazy, but it certainly is in the realm of possibility.
All right, let's move on to another one of my favorites, Josh Allen, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. He went down with a shoulder injury, ended up going back to the locker room, I would presume for like x-rays and all of that good juice, get him a nice injection to get the ball rolling. But it looks like you feel like this injury might be more of a chronic thing.
For the rest of the season, it's going to be a factor for Josh Allen. Now, I say that, but I'm not really worried about his performance or his availability. And so what we're talking about here is, if you guys remember last year with Mitchell Trubisky, almost the exact same mechanism of injury, like his arm stretched overhead, defensive player tackling him to the ground and his shoulder kind of getting jammed up overhead, which is a classic mechanism of injury for a labrum tear and or a partial dislocation of the shoulder. That's what happened to Mitch Trubisky. I believe off the top of my head, he missed one game and then he played the rest of the year. I'm not even sure Josh Allen misses time, but he will definitely play with like an external brace or a harness on that shoulder to help keep his shoulder nice and stable. If it was his throwing shoulder, we'd be having a completely different conversation. But I think Josh Allen is going to be okay here for the rest of the season. And I am very happy about that because he's just been lights out. And I have a little bit of money on an MVP bet for Josh Allen. So we need him to stay healthy here for 2020.
Yes, we do. And like he's just been absolutely lights out. And I will say that out of all the quarterbacks, I feel like this dude is just tough as nails. So you want to hope that he's going to be available. OJ Howard, tight end for the Bucks, who has actually sort of been Tom Brady's preferred go-to over Rob Gronkowski, which has been so bizarre. So he's looked pretty decent. He looked to be having a nice bounce back season, excuse me. And he was announced to have ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for a guy like that because, you know, I think in dynasty circles, right? Like people were just kind of leaving this guy for dead and it was like, oh yeah, like he was supposed to be a thing. Now he isn't. And then this year he comes out and kind of think flash some upside that we liked. Yeah, exactly. He was a player that people were on in dynasty for good reason early in his career. Certainly this is going to be a setback. He's done for the year. We'll look to see what happens, you know, in the off season. But as of now, it looks like the timeline for week one is realistic coming off the Achilles injury. So we will see with OJ Howard. But yeah, if this doesn't get Gronk going in that offense without Chris Godwin, who's dealing with the hamstring injury, I don't know what's going to get Gronk fantasy relevant in 2020.
He's the blocker. He's the blocking.
I guess so.
Bruce Arians doesn't care. He does not care about your fantasy football teams. Let's just dive in there because that was a great segue. Chris Godwin with a hamstring injury, already missed a game for a concussion. Is this just like not his year?
I mean, it's tough. It's looking that way. And it's a tricky situation, right? Because he picked up this injury not last week, but the week before and then missed this week. And so he's already missed two games. And now we're looking at, you know, a scenario where Chris Godwin was a player who finished the season last year on injured reserve because of his hamstring injury. So it's certainly a situation that is pretty volatile for the rest of the season. He's going to be a player to monitor early when he gets back on the field. It's as of right now, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday morning at 9:30. It's too early to tell if he'll be ready for this week. But certainly, you know, rest of season, he's a player that I'll be watching closely to see how he responds coming off that hamstring strain from week three.
And a little bit of advice. So sort of like you said earlier, you know, with Austin Eckler, if you are in a good position right now, if you are one of those 4-0, 3-1 teams, this is a great time to go out and get Chris Godwin with some of those question marks. I went and I traded, you know, a lower tiered running back and a wide receiver for Chris Godwin so that You know, because I could afford to have him come back, you know, spend a little bit more time in recovery and then explode on my fantasy rosters later. So that would be a nice move in my book if we can trust his hamstring moving forward. One of the most brutal injuries of the week, Nick Chubb down with a right MCL sprain, out 6 to 8 weeks. What in the world? Like, Kareem Hunt.
Good yes. Lord. We talked about this. You and I sat down for one of our YouTube series. We talked about, you know, running backs that are backups that essentially you need to draft in 2020. And Kareem Hunt was the guy that we were smiling about, so happy, so excited for. And we said he's a league winner if something happens to Nick Chubb. And obviously, no one ever roots for injuries. But here we are, and it's Kareem Hunt time. But back to Nick Chubb real quick. Yes, MCL sprain of the knee. Basically, it's that ligament that sits on the very inside. And it's really important for lateral stability and cutting. And so whenever you have an injury to that for a skill position player, it typically takes several weeks to get back from, and it really just depends on the severity of the injury. The timeline that was reported was about 6 weeks, potentially longer, and that tells me that that ligament is completely torn. Usually if it's a partial tear, it's quicker on the recovery, but he's going to miss, you know, several weeks. He's already on short-term IR with the Browns, and he's a player that, if you spend a first-round draft pick, like the theme this year, you're going to be without for several weeks. But yeah, Kareem Hunt, where would you rank Kareem Hunt rest of season, knowing that Nick Chubb's probably going to miss at least a month and a half?
He's top five. He's already been a top 12 back, and that's with Nick Chubb in the lineup, especially in a PPR format. I think you absolutely, like, if there's anybody that's maybe skeptical that he's going to return that value, you shouldn't be. He's literally, we've seen him do it before. He's been a top five back in this league, and under Kevin Stefanski, I see no reason to doubt that this is going to be the case the rest of the season.
I got a question for you. Let's play a name game. So Kareem Hunt rest of season or Joe Mixon?
Kareem Hunt.
I'm with you.
Come on. Right, this is the Ball Blast brand.
True that. How about the darling of fantasy so far, James Robinson or Kareem Hunt?
Oh man. Oh God. Why are you doing that to me, Betts? I am the biggest James Robinson fan. I need to get his jersey number tattooed to my forehead.
Yes.
I love this dude. I think that's a great idea. I'll look fantastic. I think you got to go Kareem Hunt, as much as it hurts me. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult at all. I'm just marginally biased, but it's got to be Kareem Hunt. You've seen him do it over and over again, and you know that his offensive system, I think, is a little bit more trustworthy than what we're seeing from the Jags right now.
I like it. All right, last one. Miles Sanders or Kareem Hunt?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, you came out shooting. You came out guns a-blazing. Holy Moses. Okay, so for the same reason, I have to go with Kareem Hunt. I do believe more in the offense. You know, I think that there are just other assets that make that offense, you know, a good team. You have Jarvis Landry, you've got Austin Hooper, you've got OBJ. Like, you've got so many other weapons that, you know, the offense likely will run through Kareem Hunt, but he's not going to be the only staple that makes this a viable scoring team. So I'm going to roll with Hunt. So basically, Hunt over everything for me, right?
Yeah, at this point, I guess so. I mean, it sounds like he would be ranked like inside the top 8 running backs, you would say, rest of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you have to look at him that way.
Yep,
I'm with you. Any of those questions that you asked me, do you have any different answers?
I don't.
Joe Mixon, James Robinson,
yeah,
Miles Sanders.
I really don't. I mean, I love Miles Sanders. I'm an Eagles fan, and you know, shout out to us for being in first place.
So sorry
and
about
the
that.
Worst first place team in the entire league. but you know, there are valid concerns across the offense, and certainly Joe Mixon's had ups and several downs so far this season. But I just know Kareem Hunt. You know, we've seen it. He's finished as the RB1 overall before. This Browns offense is set to win with the running back position. I mean, he's going to get 18 to 25 touches a week in that offense, behind that offensive line. So, yeah, I can't argue with you at all on any of those. I'm certainly with you.
Love it. Oh, God, I love to hear a little bit of positivity for the Cleveland Browns because they don't get enough of it.
True that.
Let's talk about Kenyon Drake. So I do have a question for you. So he exited last week with a chest injury in the fourth quarter. Sounds like he like got the wind knocked out of him. It sounds like he's fine. Based on, you know, some reports I saw yesterday, it looks like he's back up to, you know, full practice and he's looking good. Is there any chance, you know, we entered this season with Drake in a walking boot. Is there any chance that maybe he was just a little bit more banged up than he let on?
I mean, it's certainly possible, right? Like a lot of this kind of analysis and a lot of this information we have is looking from the outside in and trying to read through the tea leaves. So it's hard to say. Certainly it's possible. I think that there are other reasons for concern with Kenyon Drake beyond just potentially the walking boot. But I do think it's potentially a factor. The main issue for me is, you know, last year when we saw him come in and just go crazy in the second half of the year and win people fantasy titles was his involvement in the passing game. And this season, Kyler is not using the running back position much at all through the air. And when he is, it's Chase Edmonds. So Kenyon Drake was a guy we all projected to be a multi-dimensional type of player, running game and receiving, and they're targeting the running back position at just a 15% clip so far this season. That's bottom three in the league. And so if you have a running back splitting time with Chase Edmonds doing the exact same thing, it's hard to hold value in PPR, half PPR formats. So I don't know if it's the injury previously from training camp or if it's that or if it's a combination, but I am officially terrified to have Kenyon Drake on my roster.
Are you looking to, if you're in a redraft league, what is like the lowest tiered offer that you might consider trading Kenyon Drake for at this point? It's gotta be pretty low, right?
It's so tough because you spent a first round pick on him to get him or high
that's
second.
What's,
yeah.
That's
I would probably
hard.
I would trade him for, if I could get a back end wide receiver two, I would do it. A high end wide receiver three, I would probably even do it. I'm not sure you can really trade running back for running back because I don't know that anyone really wants to go out and get Kenyon Drake. I was involved with another player in a league I play in. We were talking about Kenyon Drake before this weekend and I was like, he's going to come out. This is the get right game. He's going to smash. And the other manager was like, you know what? I agree too. Like, I can't sell him yet. Come talk to me next week. And now we both texted each other the day after. We were like, Never mind. Yeah. So I don't know. He's just kind of like a roster clogger at this point. I'm not sure. What do you think you could get for Kenyon Drake?
I think you're definitely right about the fact that you probably need to go for a wide receiver who's maybe the running back position is just absolutely demolished. So I think we have to put that on the back end, put that idea out of our brains. You know, I wonder, like, would you trade him for a DJ Chark?
Oh, yes. 100%.
If you're the DJ Chark owner, do you do that trade?
No.
How about Devonta Parker?
I would. I mean, there's always the concern potentially that Tua comes in and what does the offense look like? But Parker's going to get volume, and yeah, I'll take that over Drake.
All right, I've got some grosser ones for you. Jamison Crowder. Nobody wants to own Jamison Crowder, but he is producing for fantasy leagues.
I guess I was
getting volume.
Yeah. Jamison Crowder was just like an auto pick in like the 9th and 10th round of drafts for me this year. So I have a lot of him because he's just like a perfect wide receiver three. Yeah, I guess I'll still hold Kenyon Drake. You just need running backs on your roster and it's so tough. It's close though. And that tells you how worried I am about Kenyon Drake.
Last but not least, Robbie Anderson, who has been absolutely on fire with Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think any of us would have expected him to come out and have three games over 99 receiving yards with Teddy Bridgewater of all folks. He's, you know, he was a guy that was essentially free in your leagues. Are you buying in? Would you give up Robbie Anderson for Kenyon Drake at this point?
I think I would, but I've been really slow to come around on Robbie Anderson because, and I'll be honest with our listeners, like I have a preseason bias. I wanted DJ Moore to be a thing. I still believe DJ Moore can be a thing. I am losing money in DFS on DJ Moore, but regardless, it's time to buy in to Robbie Anderson as Matt Rhule's Temple guy, right? He coached him at Temple in college. He's using him more. He's seeing way more volume than DJ Moore. So There's going to be good weeks for DJ Moore coming up, no doubt. But Robbie Anderson, to me, at this point, is the one in an offense where Teddy Bridgewater is top 10 in the league in passing yards right now. And I don't think anyone saw that coming. So, yeah, fantasy football in 2020 is a weird thing, and I think we have to embrace it.
Yeah, this is it's a weird year. Let's go out west. Let's check in on the Denver Broncos. We've got Noah Fant, who was carted off last week with an ankle injury. Seems like he's bound to miss some time.
Yeah, I think he is, and in probably multiple weeks. We're looking at a high ankle sprain here for Noah Fant. So certainly if you're planning for week five, he will not be out there. And then beyond that, you know, it's going to be probably a couple weeks before you see him back on the field. So looking at a multi-week absence for Noah Fant.
And we've got KJ Hamler, who also strained a hamstring. Are you buying into Tim Patrick, who had 113 receiving yards and a touchdown, had a touchdown last week? He's this guy that's sort of been productive whenever he's been asked to do so. Do you buy in?
Not really. And it's mostly because I don't want to have a lot of the Denver passing attack. You know, I entered the season with concerns about Drew Lock, and here we are looking at Brett Rippon and potentially their third string quarterback, or second, I guess, and Jeff Driskel. Rippon's the third string, but I'm still not convinced. And now we have Drew Lock potentially due back in the next week or two, coming off of the rotator cuff injury he had early in the season. So he's kind of a by default type of guy, but I'm not really in love with it. I just am a full on fade on the Broncos offense.
I think that's always just generally a good rule of thumb in your life, really. Sam Darnold, AC joint sprain. Is this the same injury that we saw with Josh Allen?
A little bit different. So with Sam Darnold, we saw him get tackled and a defender kind of fell on top of him and drove the point of his shoulder into the ground. The initial concern was for a collarbone fracture. You saw him leave the field. He got x-rays. They were negative. And then the only way he comes back into that game with the AC joint injury is with an injection for pain control. And he did fine when he came back in. But it's a different story here moving forward. Usually the week after that happens, you know, you're not getting an injection every day. You can't do that. But basically, you need time to let the AC joint heal. And so it's likely that he will miss this week, even though he finished the game last week, which might be a bit of a surprise for people. So definitely monitor that. And anytime you have an AC joint injury to a throwing athlete, it's certainly a concern. We saw this, if you guys remember last year, Dak Prescott late in the season picked up that AC joint injury. And then in a must-win game against Philly, he could not push the ball downfield. So if you have a Jets wide receiver, if you're playing DFS, if you're for some reason starting Sam Darnold in fantasy, well, first off, I'm sorry. Second off, I would temper expectations for sure this week.
All right. I think that is definitely fair. Who else should we talk about here?
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones. Oh, gosh.
Picked up that hamstring injury in training camp, and now we're still talking about it. We're entering week five. Can't get rid of it. If you guys watched Monday Night Football last night, he kind of battled through it. And then you could see like the body language on the sideline. He was pretty disappointed and, you know, didn't look himself entering halftime. And then he didn't come out in the second half and was ruled out for the rest of the game, aggravating that same hamstring injury. And, you know, if our listeners have heard us talk before, they know an aggravation of a hamstring injury typically leads to more time missed. So I think people that have Julio Jones in their roster certainly should be making backup plans for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Oof. Let's talk about LeSean McCoy, likely out for week five with an ankle sprain. Leonard Fournette's already banged up. He's got an ankle injury. We saw Ronald Jones get a lot of touches this week, but he didn't look particularly fantastic on those attempts. He was sort of out of sync with Tom Brady in the passing game. I think he had like three drops, something like that. Keyshawn Vaughn, my guy, ended up with the receiving touchdown this week. Should Keyshawn Vaughn be on our waivers or be on our radar when we're putting in our waiver claims today?
I feel like he has to be. I mean, you can probably get him for really, really cheap if you're playing in a fab type of league. I might throw a few bucks at him because we've seen this with Bruce Arians in the past, right? Look at David Johnson several years ago with the Cardinals, where it was a slow start to the season. He barely played. And then all of a sudden, he was just thrust into the starting role and was a league winner. Now, I'm not necessarily projecting that from Keyshawn Vaughn, but you have no LeSean McCoy. Leonard Fournette is going to miss multiple weeks again, coming off of an ankle injury. And so by default, he's the team's RB2, and we've seen Ronald Jones get put in the doghouse, so to speak, for fumbling or blocking concerns or any of those types of matters. So I'm not giving up hope on Keyshawn Vaughn. Certainly, if you're a dynasty player, this has to feel good that he is relevant again, because it was looking scary.
Thank God.
The start of the week. Yes, I spent several first-round rookie picks on Keyshawn Vaughn.
Whoops.
Hopefully this is a good sign for him. I do think he's worth rostering in redraft leagues.
All right. I think that's about it. Is there any other guys that we need to talk about to get our friends prepared for week five and beyond in regards to these injuries?
I think those are the biggest ones for sure. But of course, news pops up all the time. So guys, check out the injury tracker on ballblastfootball.com.
Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to follow Ball Blast Football over on Twitter at BallBlastFB and Instagram at BallBlastFB. You can follow me, Kate, at FFBallBlast, and follow Betts, our injury expert, at TheFantasyPT. Thanks, guys.